Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I don't consider pastoring and studying and preaching a job. It's more work than I've ever had laid on me. I'm not saying my job is any harder than anybody else's job. Just in my own experience, this is the largest amount of work that I've ever had laid on me. But to me, it's not a job. It's not just what I do for a living. This is a calling. This is a lifelong calling. It is stressful. It is weighty. The reason is because it's so serious. It is so serious. More so, though, than anything else that can be said about this calling is it's an honor. It's an honor and it's a privilege. My calling is to the Word of God. My calling is to God's Word. All of God's people are called to Christ. We are all called to Christ. I, by God's grace alone, have been called to the Lord Jesus Christ. But my calling as a pastor and as a preacher is to study this Word. You know, people call us preachers. I think we ought to be called studiers because that's what we do. If you really think about the time spent, that's what we do. My calling is to study this Word and seek the Lord for an understanding of this Word and then declare this Word. That's my calling. I thought about this statement heavily. I believe that with each day that goes by, each day that God allows me to open this Word, I believe that I more and more see the value of it. And I'll say it this way, I want to. I want to, and I hope to, and I believe I do. I believe I do. The more value something has to you, the more important it is to you. If something has no value to you, you're just as happy for it to leave your hand as you are for it to come into your hand. You ever picked up shells on the beach? You reach down, you know they're half covered up in sand, you pull it up, no value. See something covered up, you pick it up, it's a whole sand dollar. Where we usually go, there are no, you get these little bitty, they're not even conch shells, they're like snails, something or another. But it's a little spiral thing, and you're so excited to get one. We went to a place one time, and there are huge conch shells everywhere. Complete, no cracks, nothing missing. You find something like that, and you stick it in your pocket. And you keep it, you save it. You go back to where everybody else is and you say, look what I found. That's what preaching is. And that's what believing is. Preaching the Word and believing the Word. The more we open this Word, the more we open this Word. Why come back tonight? We were just here. I believe we worship God. Why come back? The more we open this Word, the more we realize the value of it. Its value to us. Hannah and I have a book at the house. It's a folder with pockets and stuff like that in it. And we put all of our important papers, all of our really important certificates, things like that, they go into this book. That book is important to us. It's not just something that you just throw in the corner of the garage. in this book is our birth certificate. In this book right here is our death certificate. We know when we died. We know where we died. We know how we died. We know why we died. All right here in this book. When did we die? When Christ said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's when we died. Where did we die? We died just outside of Jerusalem on top of Golgotha's hill. How did we die? God nailed us to a Roman cross and spewed out his wrath on us. Why did we die? God's justice demanded it. That sin had to be paid. Every bit of that happened in Christ. And in Christ and in his word, we have our birth certificate in here. We have our death certificate in here. We have our resurrection certificate in here. We have our inheritance certificate in here. The value of this book, the absolute value of this book. Our family tree is in here. If you feed on Christ, you understand what I mean when I say our food is in here. Our water is in here. If you've ever needed it, you know what I'm talking about. Our medicine is in here. Where do you keep your medicine? Right in here. Those who have to take medicine every day, do they just throw it around anywhere? This is our medicine. Our wisdom is right in here. Every step. You know the steps of a good man are ordered. Do you know that? Every single step. Everything we should do, how we should do it, when we should do it, it's all in here. Every bit of it. This is not just a figure of speech. Every single thing we need is in here. It's all in here. Now, let's just scan a few verses here in Psalm 119, and let's see if we agree with David. Psalm 119, verse 25, he said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." My soul is wrapped up in dust. In this flesh, I'm nothing but a dead man. He said, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." There is life in this word. David said, there is life in here. Every soul that has been quickened says, it's true. It's true. There's life in here. Verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." The more we open the pages of this book, the more we're going to realize there is strength in here. There is strength in here. Is your soul melting for heaviness? That's what David said. My soul is melting for heaviness. Is your soul melting for heaviness? There is strength in here. There is strength right inside here. The strength of the promise of the Lord. The strength of the word of the Lord. Look at verse 58. He said, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart." I started begging with my whole heart. "Be merciful unto me according to thy word." There is mercy in here. There's mercy in here. You need mercy. Right in here. It's right in here. We communicate to our Lord in prayer. We just did. Isn't that right? We communicate to Him with our words. He communicates to us and He answers us with His words. We communicate with our words. He communicates with His words. We cry to Him, I need mercy. He says, I will be merciful. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. He says, I will. Be Thou clean. Look at verse 76. Let, I pray Thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to Thy word, unto Thy servant. There is comfort in here. You talk about not just a figure of speech. There is comfort in here. There is no comfort anywhere else, but there's comfort in here. There's so much comfort in here. What is troubling you? I've said that before, I'm saying it again. What is worrying you? The reason I say it is because something always is. As soon as you finish with this one, here comes two more. Right? What do you need relief from? What do you need rest from? Oh, there's so much trouble in my family. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Isn't that right? It's money. It's money. Things have never been tight as they are right now. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? If God clothes the grass, He's going to clothe you. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Take no thought for it. There is so much comfort in this word. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Eternal stability is right in here. When everything else is falling apart, when everything else seems to be crumbling out from under you, eternal stability is right in here. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. Right here in His excellent word. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 133. Order my steps in Thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The light of Christ. You know, not what the kids sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The light of Jesus Christ. If we have the light of Christ, we have the sun as it shineth in His strength. That light of Christ, the direction and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit is right in here. And I want to say that again. The light of Christ and the direction and the guidance of God's Holy Spirit is right inside here. Right inside this word. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. Do you ever get disgusted with the filth of this world? Honestly, do you ever just get tired of it? the wickedness of it, the way that everybody's wanting to conform to it. You know, every generation has said that. But it seems like it's just so true, so true. When I say everybody, I mean myself. We see it more in our own heart, in our own mind than we do anywhere, don't we? But does it ever vex you? It says it vexed Lot. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah and it just vexed him. Does it ever vex you that everywhere you turn, within, everything, everyone is just drinking in iniquity like water? Do you ever just long for something pure? Are you ever just ready to be done with it? And can't I just have something pure? It's right here. I mean, it's right here. He said, that's why your servant. Lord, you've made me to be your servant. I wouldn't be if you hadn't made me to be, but you made me to be. That's why this filthy, rotten, vile, wicked sinner that you laid hold of, this sinner that you had mercy on and plunged me in the blood of my Lord, this sinner that you put a brand new heart in, one that loves purity, one that loves God's holiness. That's why your servant loves this word. It's because it's the absolute purest thing on earth. Completely, completely pure. 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. He said, I was up all night crying. Crying over the sorrow and the difficulties of this life. Crying over my own sin. Crying over the sin and the lost state of my loved ones. But you gave me hope in your word. You gave me some hope in this word. Have you ever... We don't understand this until God puts us in a position to understand this. We'll never understand need. We'll never understand crying. We'll never understand begging for mercy until God proves to us what a sinner we are. We'll never understand the depth of what we have right here until God reveals to us our need. But have you ever needed hope, needed a word from the Lord, and you open up this word and God speaks to your heart and it floods you in a way that you can't even describe? David said, you gave me hope. You gave me hope again in your word. You gave me an expected anticipation. You proved to me through your word that though weeping endures for the night, joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming. This life that we live in right now is night. It's night. Everything about it is night. There's a lot of weeping involved. But joy is coming. It is. And when it comes to our sin, this word says there's forgiveness with thee. If God can forgive me, God can forgive anybody. I'm begging for loved ones. If God can forgive me, God can forgive anybody. Well, they just don't seem to have an interest. Well, neither did I. So they're just too sinful. Well, so was I. If God can forgive me, God can forgive anybody. Anybody. There's hope in this word. I love how our Lord's ways are not our ways. Not our ways. We have people, oh man, I just wish God would save him. That person is such a good and kind person. He's friendly to people. He'd do anything for you. If anybody ought to be saved, it ought to be him. You would think if God would save anybody, it'd be him. Sad to say, that's usually not the guy. It's that guy that everybody says, no hope. 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 Let's take our loved ones to the Lord and leave them there. He's able. He's able. Look at verse 160 with me. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. All truth is in here. All truth from the beginning of it to the end of it. It is nothing but truth. The more we open the pages of this word, the more we are absolutely convinced of the fact that God is true, and every man and everything that is against the word of God is a liar. Isn't that right? This is truth. This is truth. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. That article that I read to you every now and then, it's called A Good Description of the Bible. It starts by saying, this book is the mind of God. This book is the mind of God. In this word, we understand what God demands. In this word, we understand how far we are from His demands. In this word, we understand how far Christ came down to help us. We would have never known had it not been for this precious word. In this word, we understand what He did. Verse 170 says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Christ delivered us. He delivered us, and He did it according to the word, in agreement with God's holy word. Completely, every jot, every tittle, according to the word. It's perfect. The Apostle Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Our deliverance is right in here. He said in verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. We have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ right in here. Now go with me, if you would, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, this is the verse that got me to thinking about all this. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This word of God is the only thing that has any lasting value. This is it. This is it. The more we come to realize that, the more peace we're going to have with the way things are in this world. Years ago, I'm going to say roughly 8, something like that, somebody went down to Mexico and they were staying with the Groovers. And while they were there, they found a big crack in Walter's wall of his house. I don't know where it was, but their houses down there were made out of concrete. Exterior walls, interior walls, all concrete. And it was apparently a pretty big crack, and, you know, the expense of it and the hassle of the construction and the concrete dust everywhere and all that kind of stuff. And the people who were visiting said to Betty, I am so sorry, Betty. And Betty put, this was her immediate response. She said, "Everything here is turning to rust anyway. It's okay." You know where she got that? Right there. Right there. I thought, what an answer. It's okay. It's all crumbling anyway. What an answer. The more we get a hold of that, the easier it will be to deal with what happens in this world. God said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. The Lord gives money and the Lord takes away money. The Lord gives things and the Lord takes away things. The Lord gives people and the Lord takes away people. But he said, I will never take away my word from you. Never, never. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I want to get a hold of that. I mean this. I mean this. I want to get a hold of this, and I want to learn this. I want to learn this. Look with me at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He basically said the same thing twice. He's stressing it. That's what he's doing. He's stressing it. He said in verse 13, I write unto you. He said in verse 14, I have written unto you. I said it before. I'm saying it again. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and what he means right here is at the expense of Christ. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust thereof, that's passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If anybody gets it, I get it. I do get it. We all have houses to buy. We all have cars to buy. We have families to support. We have careers to get off the ground. I get it. But oh, may we never, never lose sight of the fact that every bit of it is passing away. I mean, it's passing away. This is what our Lord said. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy this word and sell it not. May we never get to a place where we say, well, I need to put Christ and his word off right now. I have something important going on. May we never, ever get to a place where anything becomes more valuable to us than this word. The word of the one we're hoping in. The word of the one we're looking to. Let's literally hold everyone. I mean everyone. I'm preaching to Gabe Stonaker right now. Let's hold everyone and everything with an open hand So all of it can leave just as easily as it came in. Everyone and everything except for the Word of God. Clench a fist around it. I mean both hands, pull it in close, keep it, guard it with our life. Don't ever let it go. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. These are the words of our Savior. Our whole hope is to live forever with a person. These are His words. These are His promises. To cling to His word is to cling to Him. That's what it is. Now, I want to close with this. I believe this is the best illustration for this. Go with me to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, look with me at verse 44. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven, and I love it every time our Lord says that. The kingdom of heaven is like, I want to know what He has to say now. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buys that field, because it's the happiest thing he could do. For joy thereof, he goes and he sells everything he has, and he buys that field. Our Lord said in verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all the pearls that he'd gathered up to that point, and he bought that one pearl. He sold it all, and he bought that pearl of great price. Oh, the treasure God has given us in this word. What a treasure. Put everything you have into it. I mean everything you have. Put everything you have into it. We do that with something that means something to us. You men need to put your all into your jobs. Our Lord said, work while there's 12 hours a day. You men need to put your all into your families. You men need to be the absolute best husbands you can possibly be. You wives need to be the best wives you can possibly be. Fathers, mothers, you need to be the best friend you can possibly be. I mean, pour your all into these things, but buddy, pour your all into this. Pour your all into it, because it's never going to pass away. Never. All right, I want to close with 268. Let's all stand together.